You are listening to episode 146 of the Walking Leader Podcast. This is the Walking Leader Podcast, episode number 146. I am your host, David Guerra, author of The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. Thank you for joining me today. In this episode, I talk about how, as the walking leader, you must motivate and inspire your followers. See, according to the 2018 article by Anna Dizon on fitsmallbusiness.com, quote, in a recent study by the Hay Group, as many as 71% of American workers reported feeling disengaged and unmotivated. That translates into an estimated $300 billion worth of lost productivity for American businesses every year, end quote. With that being said, inspiration and motivation is critical in not just the workplace, but at home. See, the professional and personal impact of motivation and inspiration is greater now more than ever because there's so much going on in the world. There's so much of the outside world we bring into our home, so much of the outside world we bring to our workplace that we start losing some focus. We start losing motivation. And once we start losing motivation, we start losing inspiration. And that's why, as a leader, you have to be able to address those both in the personal and the professional. Because, yes, like I said before, and I believe 100%, professional life and personal life are intertwined or interconnected. Because what you do in your professional life brings in the funds to live your personal life. And if you have a happy personal life, that means you have a happy, well-rounded, more productive, more insightful, and highly motivated professional work life. So you see, the two are intertwined. The two are symbiotic, contrary to popular belief. Now, the wheels must turn to keep the flow, to keep the workflow. It is when the wheels start to slow down or stop altogether that things start to fall apart. And as the walking leader, your team needs to find fulfillment in what they do. They must avoid slowing down or stopping altogether. I mean, you can't let it slow down. You can't let it stop, because once they start slowing down, if you don't get them back on track, they will stop. And once they stop, it is very difficult to get them going. So this is where you come in. See, you have to find that right balance, the right mix, the right formula to keep them motivated and inspired. To keep it up, to keep the workflow moving, to keep things underway. See, just like too little or too much motivation, the team will become immune to it and thus rendering it ineffective. Them also, as individuals, rendering them ineffective. And you don't want that. So that's why it's important to find that right balance, that right mix, that right formula. And there's no need for fancy speeches, like no waxing poetically like Henry V did in Shakespeare's Henry V in that St. Crispin's Day speech, where he's out there in the battlefield and he says, any man who sheds his blood with me today is forever my brother. It can also be as brief as the speech by Captain Miller in Saving Private Ryan. They're in the boats, the landing craft, right before they hit the beach on Normandy on D-Day. It's real simple. Keep the sand out of your weapons. Keep those actions clear, and I'll see you on the beach. That's it. They already know what to do. They know how to do their job. They know how to do their job. And you do your job and you do it well, I'll see you on the beach. So as a leader, it behooves you to find the right balance sooner rather than later. But what is the right balance? Folks, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. There is no magic formula to finding the right balance. It's a hodgepodge of different things. It's a hodgepodge, it's a potpourri, it's a, now I'm waxing poetically. It's an intermixing of different steps, different ideas, different concepts, and applying them together. Sure, you can throw in a speech here now and then, and that's fine. But there's some things that are necessary for the speech to be effective, for that right mix to be, well, to render or yield those results that you want. One of them, and the top thing, is communication. Ensure that the lines of communication are always open. Give and solicit feedback. Two-way communication, not one-way. That's a monologue, and that's dictating. That's a monarchy. That's a tyranny. No. It's dual conversations going back and forth. It's a dialogue. And independence. Ensure that they know that they were hired to do the job and that they can do their job, and you're encouraging them to do the job they were hired to do with minimal impact on not getting the job done because there are too many constraints or controls. So if you hired them to do a job, but yet there's too many constraints or controls in there, obviously it's your job to find a way to get around those. And make, however, while completing the job. Cross-training. Keep it fresh with the team members. Ensure that they can do each other's job for those rare occasions when people are out sick. When they go on vacation, or they've been terminated, or an employee has voluntarily left for greener pastures. But ensure that they're cross-trained until somebody else can come in and fill in that gap. And that's why you need to keep it fresh, because if they can do each other's job on a minimum, bare minimum sustaining level, then they know that the wheels can keep turning, no matter the outside forces. Another one is about ensuring that they still have passion about what they're doing. If not, they themselves, your team members, have to find that passion again. Now, of course, they can find it with your help, so you have to give them the time and the tools to do so. And speaking of passion and finding it for themselves, their personal goals. Your job as a leader is to encourage them to set personal goals, both in and outside of the organization. Because again, both are intertwined, both are interconnected, both are symbiotic. Meetings, meet with them on one-on-one basis and as a group. Get to know them as individuals. That's what you do on a one-on-one basis. And get to know them as a group, how they interact with each other. I mentioned this earlier when it talks about giving them the independence. It's also being able to run interference for them. Be the individual that, well, you're kind of like their bodyguard or their head of security. They're there to do a job. They're not there to be disturbed. They're not there to be bothered. Unless their job dictates it or is part of their job description. But for the most part, keep those that are interfering with their process and doing their job, keep it to a minimum. Be there for them. Run interference for them. Another thing to inspire and motivate is celebrate. Now, don't celebrate all the time. Ooh, it's Thursday. We're celebrating again next Thursday. Ooh, it's Wednesday. We'll see you next Wednesday. No. But do celebrate. Celebrate the big wins as well as the small ones. And not just the holiday party, the required holiday party, and not just the required monthly birthday party, but why not a no birthdays this month party? Keep it unique. Keep it fresh. Keep them on their toes, especially when it comes to that. But celebrate as a group. Celebrate together, that everybody recognizes that, hey, we got a W. And some months, well, we might not get the W, but guess what? There's no birthday this month. We're going to have a party anyway. Going back to communication for a bit. Daily briefings. I'm not talking about those full-blown meetings, but a quick in the hallway, by the water cooler, at the coffee maker, at the Keurig cup maker. Just briefings. What's going on? Anything that we need to talk about right here, right now, before we separate, go back to our locations, our offices, our cubicles, our respective locations. Just quick. Nothing fancy. Now, there's going to be times that meetings are necessary. Ensure that you have those meetings. I talked about the independent, the one-on-one. I talked about the group meetings, but ensure that there are formal meetings set as well. Folks, but in between, there's going to be situations where conflict arises. Address conflicts immediately. Don't wait for them to grow and get out of hand and fester. Because once a problem, a conflict festers into something bigger and it's impacting a lot of people, guess what? It's poison. Pure, simple poison. So address any conflict immediately. And the poison means that people are going to start dividing and picking sides. And when they divide and they start picking sides and it gets to that point, guess what? It's time to fall back together and regroup and reassess and figure things out and get things under control. And that's why one of the things that you should, as a leader, as the walking leader, you should be instilling in people, in all people, including yourself first, and then everybody else, and you start expecting it from everybody else, is to always think win-win. Win-win. Everybody wins. And yes, it can happen. There doesn't have to be a win-lose situation. There's going to be times for that. That's necessary. I get that. But in business, in life, in politics and religion and medicine, everywhere, there's always an opportunity for win-win, where everybody can win. And that comes with having, well, the idea that mutually assured success is acceptable to everyone. All sides coming into any type of situation have to agree that mutually assured success is what's better for everyone than just, well, I win, you lose. It's part of the team mentality. If the team wins, then we all win. Then we as individuals, team members, win because the team won. So it's a team mentality. Therefore, we have to think outside of ourselves. And thinking outside of ourselves also means that we have to have a mindset of abundance. An abundance mindset, meaning that there's more than enough for everyone. It's not just all for me and none for you, or you give me 9, I'll give you 1. No. It's we all have enough, and there's more than enough. So it could mean that sometimes we leave something on the table. But so long as we have enough for each of us, then we're good to go. So if everybody gets 4.5 and 4, and then there's 1.5 still out there, that's fine. But again, it's agreed upon. It's mutually assured success. What's enough for me to win? What's enough for you to win? And what's enough for us to win together? So keep stressing that in any situation, especially in conflicts. Tell them, yeah, you have a problem, but what is the win-win out of this? How can we all win? And let them start critically thinking that way. You need to be critically thinking that 100% of the time. You're the walking leader. You're there. You're at the top. They come to you. And when they come to you, there's going to be losses and there's going to be wins, and I get that. But as I mentioned earlier about celebrating, share those wins. Share them with everybody because it took a team. But own the losses. Own the losses. You're the leader. The buck stops with you. So when there's an L, then you take the L because ultimately you were there to guide them, to oversee, to ensure that they won as a group. But when they win, everyone shares because, again, they did the work. You oversaw. You were guiding them, but they did the work. So own your losses. That's part of being a leader. Own your losses. Is how many L's can you acquire in your lifetime as a leader? Hopefully a lot. But how many W's can you share with everyone? All of them. All the W's. You share all the W's. Don't forget that. And there could be times when even the team will start looking and start singling out the high performers and the low performers, and they start segregating them, and it doesn't work that way. You as a leader need to focus on the team, not just the high performers, and don't overlook the low performers. Everybody delivers to this team. See, I'm going to use a baseball analogy in this one. Everyone contributes in the baseball team. One will always swing for the fences. One person on that team is always swinging for the fences. That's fine. The other pitches for strikeouts. That's what he does. Others look to catch a runner stealing bases. That's what they do. And then there's others that's all that they're going to do is steal bases because that's what they do. Because that's what they excel at. That's what they're known for. That's what they're good at. So do you see everyone on the team contributes? But everybody has a different role. And as far as high performers and low performers, the only time that really, truly matters is when you're not performing. And the high performers should be teaching the low performers how they do it, what their secret to success is. Because imagine if the entire team was full of high performers, how great the team would be. It'd be the envy of the organization. And then even then, it shouldn't be the envy of the organization because then that team should be sharing with all the other teams in the organization that the organization becomes the envy of the industry. So you see how it grows exponentially? That's a win-win right there. First, you have to get to that level. You have to get to that level where everybody's contributing and everybody becomes a high performer because everybody worked together to create a group of high performers. As the leader, that's your job. Also, as a leader, never, ever forget and always, always remember to say thank you and please. You're not a dictator. This isn't Stalinist Soviet Union. No, this is today's world. This is the 21st century. So always remember and never forget to say thank you and please. But then again, pointing at you, looking at yourself in a mirror every day, another thing to never, ever forget and always, truly always remember, because it is just that important, is to walk your talk. Always walk your talk. Be genuine, be effective, be the real you, whether they like it or not. And there's going to be people that don't like you being for who you are. But guess what? Those people that don't like you for who you are, it's because they want to be like you and they cannot be like you. You're the walking leader. You're the one that's getting out there. You're the one that's taking care of business. You're the one that's seeing the organization for what it truly is. And because of that, they expect you to be genuine. They expect you to be authentically you, to be the real you 100% of the time. Don't go around saying, oh, well, I promote this, I promote that, I promote this leadership, I promote this management, I promote daring to be yourself, to go out and be somebody that people will look up to, and then turn right back around and start ignoring the people that help you get there. The people that are in your corner, you start ignoring them and you just don't pay attention to them. You don't even answer a simple yes or no question. And trust me, I've been on that one. I asked a question back on April 9th. And 2 months later, I still have yet to receive the answer to that question. And for some reason, you know, you got to do something. Life goes on. You have to keep moving. So understand, don't be disingenuous. Don't be, if that's the correct word, don't be unauthentic. Don't be the fake you. Be the real you 100% of the time. So it was a simple yes or no question. But folks, that taught me a lesson that sometimes even the people that promote that they want to be the best can't help themselves but just to be them. And then when that crack is made, that facade starts to crack and we start seeing the real person, do we like that real person? No, because the authenticness is gone. The authenticity of that individual, or the perceived authenticity, is gone. So folks, it's a fine line. But if you start off being the real you, you start off being genuine, you start off being authentic to yourself first and then everyone else, and you don't pull any punches and you walk your talk, you're not going to run into that situation where people are going to just go out of their way to avoid you because they can't get an answer, a simple yes or no answer out of you. And that's the sad part of it, because you could have prevented that. And how do you prevent that? Because you walk your talk. Always. In the end, the strategies to motivate and inspire are very wide and very, well, extremely varied. But the best way to find out what works for you and for your unique team is to get to know each team member on a one-on-one basis and then as a collective. Then and only then can you find what works and how much you have to use at any given time. And it'll vary. It'll vary. And sometimes you might just need to double back and try a different strategy, but you need to just keep constantly trying, because to motivate them and inspire them is a full-time job in itself. And don't get caught short. Don't get caught pulling your punches. Don't get caught not walking your talk. And most of all, don't get caught ignoring people, especially your most ardent supporters. Because when they see the real you, they won't be your most ardent supporters. They'll wonder why, what they ever saw in you in the first place. So that's a reality, folks. That is a reality. So never forget to say thank you and please. And always, please, I can't say this anymore, walk your talk. Everyone, you've been listening to episode 146 of the Walking Leader podcast, episode 146, titled As the Walking Leader, You Must Motivate and Inspire All Your Followers. I do invite you to email me at dave@davegarra.com and reach out to me on Twitter at @DaveGarra, all one word, the @ and @DaveGuerra, all one word. Also, I invite you to visit my Facebook page at facebook.com/the David Guerra, Guerra, the David Guerra, all one word. So again, I thank you for listening to episode 146. Join me next time for episode 147. And I'll be talking about, as the walking leader, they must know you have their back. Until then, take care and remember to always go beyond the grind and go beyond the hustle, because that is the only way to be the walking leader and a leader that is great to follow.